welcome everybody to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. It is Friday, May 9th, and if I keep screaming, I'm going to lose my voice. I think I just realized that as you started the podcast. That was an alarming moment. All right, Adam Azer here with Scott White, now Melchior. We're going to read some emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We've got players to add. I thought it was an interesting day yesterday. Obviously, I was a little disconnected from the baseball world, the NFL draft yesterday. We had a live show. If you didn't catch it last night, catch it tonight and tomorrow. Live for every pick, grading every pick, breaking it down. And for you fantasy football players, Dave and Jamie will be on Saturday to give their fantasy take. But
great job, Adam.
Thank you.
Great job.
Appreciate it.
Putting in the overtime.
Oh, man. So much overtime. And I just saw a lot of things that happened in baseball. Rougned Odor gets called up. Dallas Keuchel had another really good start. Josh Beckett had an encouraging start. Ryan Vogelsong pitched well. Danny Duffy pitched well. Ian Kennedy struck out 12 Marlins.
Cheaters.
The Marlins cheated again. They cheated on the road.
As soon as they go on the road. No. I'm saying they struck out what? How many times in
12,
this game?
12.
12 times in
well,
this game?
Just Kennedy.
They 12. Won. They won because the Padres can't score.
That's true.
But as soon as they go on the road, their lineup looks
that's
like
a good
this.
Point. That's a very good point.
It's I don't know. It's
Scott's drinking the Braves Kool-Aid here.
You have to admit it's.
Oh, they've been terrible on the road,
right? Like, and it's a terrible place to hit. Like, what? As soon as they go on the road, this happens.
It's kind of funny. And also out there, Marlins are in first place for the first time. Sole possession since April 26, 2011.
Really? So never in, I guess they must have been tied for first, I think, in 2012.
Yeah, sole possession of first place.
Look at that.
Pretty crazy. All right. We'll get to the most out of most dropped. It's two-star pitchers, hitters for next week. And I think I mentioned your email. So watch Fantasy Baseball Today live noon Eastern time, and let's get to it. Anything from yesterday or anything recent anyway that's making you say, I have got to add this guy?
Yeah, Rougned Odor getting called up made me say, I have to add that guy.
Well, you didn't.
I did too.
You did?
Yeah.
Not any of our
but
leagues.
You were busy with the draft, so you didn't see that I am a proud owner in our podcast categories league.
Oh, you got him?
I got him.
For $16?
Uh-huh.
That was interesting.
Because, yeah, I lost Colton Wong in my middle infield slot. Didn't really like the options last week to fill that empty slot, so I opted to take the zero.
Yeah, no kidding.
Instead of spending money on Chris Owings.
Middle
now
of the field's terrible.
Now I'm glad I didn't.
Well, it's funny, Al, because the difference in the depths of the league in our four, I didn't realize that was you, but in our 14-team league, Rodo, middle infield, $16 for Rougned Odor. In our 12-team league, $3 last night for Odor. So I understand.
Well, I might have overspent a little bit, but I had a need. So
it's hard to spend money in that league.
Yeah.
And
what do we think about
him?
Rangers second base.
I actually wasn't even going after him because for a few reasons. I mean, tons of upside. I get that. He had 6 home runs, 6 steals at AA. I mean, he has the potential to impact all 5 categories when he's ready. But he also had a .316 on base percentage at AA. He's only 20 years old, and Jerks and Profar is just 2 or 3 weeks away from returning, and he's obviously going to take precedence when he gets back. So I don't, you know, if Odor takes off here, he wouldn't be the first high upside player to make an impact in the majors right away, despite less than stellar minor league numbers. But I think that's asking for a miracle on top of a miracle, the first miracle being that he got called up at all.
Well, so why did you go so aggressively for him? And I didn't realize Profar was that close to returning.
Yeah, no, because I have a need, and you know, hopefully Colton Wong will be back before Odor loses the job, assuming that he does.
Wilmer Flores, we didn't talk about him yesterday. Mets called him up. Is that right?
Yes.
Officially?
Yes, they did.
And he could play some shortstop for them. He's second base eligible at the moment. He's third base eligible at the moment.
But he could play. I imagine he'll spend some time at all 3 positions. I'm hoping he displaces Ruben Tejada as the primary shortstop.
Well, obviously he's kind of blocked at second and short. And
yeah.
At second and third.
Yeah. He's bad defensively, I mean.
So who would you guys rather own, Flores or Odor?
I'd have to say Flores, just because I think there is more of an opportunity there for him rest of the season.
All right. Yeah. And I think he's more prepared to handle it, too. I mean,
yeah,
makes good contact. I think he had 321 with 15 homers at AAA Las Vegas last year, which is Las Vegas. Good place to hit, but still, I mean, good contact rate, gap power.
And anybody interested in Dallas Keuchel?
Oh, I am.
Yeah, 7 2/3, six hits, 2 runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts at Detroit, and he's got nearly a strikeout per inning.
Yeah, so he showed he can handle a tough matchup there. Yeah, I've been interested in Keuchel for a few weeks now. The thing is that the leagues where I wanted to pick him up in the deeper leagues, he was gone. And I wasn't really ready to take the plunge yet in a 12-team mixed league. I think I'm there now.
I might be too. I probably spent a good 15 minutes this morning looking over Dallas Keuchel and whatever I could find on him to try and make sense of this. And,
right.
and I can't really. He had a 5.9 strikeout per nine innings rate in the minors. It was 4.9 per nine in his last time he got extended time in the minors. And it's like, so where's these strikeouts coming from?
Well, let me make an analogy here, because there was a really interesting piece on MLB.com overnight on Garrett Richards, and you could kind of say the same thing about him. You know, where have all these strikeouts come from? And it's a kind of a good dissection of all the things that Richards had to work on to remake himself. And we don't see it very often, mm-hmm. but it does happen. I don't know what the backstory is on Keuchel. It would be interesting to know. But,
let me just bring one thing up with Keuchel, because I did pick him up, and then he had that not lousy, but subpar start last time out before yesterday, and I was like, Dallas Keuchel's back. So I dropped him, and now I might want to pick him up again. The one bad start he's had was against Seattle, which was the only team that had faced him for the second time. So I kind of want to see what he does the second time around against these guys, because it's almost got like a Colin McHugh-y type feel to it right now.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, McHugh was 2 starts completely out of nowhere. The thing is that Keuchel did make improvements last season that I just slept on because I said, oh, he's Dallas Keuchel.
And because there was enough inconsistency from start to start that his final numbers didn't look that great.
Yeah.
But I think he's – I agree he's worth a – he's worth a flyer in all leagues if you have the space for him. I'd go Beckett over him, but, you know, Beckett. There's some leagues where Beckett's already owned and Keuchel's not, I'm sure.
Would you guys rather have Drew Pomeranz or Dallas Keuchel?
I'd much rather have Keuchel, yeah.
Cozart or Keuchel?
Keuchel.
Yep, Keuchel.
Ian Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Yeah, it's very close for me.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like they're pretty equal. I do think, Padres' offense is pretty bad, and yet I trust Kennedy a little bit more for wins.
Anyone else in the Huda ads or anyone you want to talk about from yesterday?
I want to go back to Odor, just, very important point that I need to make here, because I'm really hoping he sticks around till June 16th, because that is the next time that the Rangers will play the A's, and there might be a need to bring in a loogie. And then you could have, you know where I'm going, right?
No. Somewhere funny.
Odor. I know you've gone to here before.
This place before, yeah.
Who is it?
Fernando Abad.
Oh, right. Abad,
you can have the lefty-lefty Abad-Odor matchup. So please stay in the lineup till mid-June.
Oh, Al Melchior, ladies and gentlemen. any interest in Ryan Vogelsong? Scott, you kind of... made a case for him a few starts ago, and he's kept it up.
Yeah, no, he's made some mechanical adjustments. He referred to those again after this start. But I just don't know that. I mean, if we're having to leave Keuchel out there potentially, and Beckett's still only 53% owned, it would have to be a deeper league, I think, before I took the plunge on Vogelsong, because the upside in terms of strikeouts and everything isn't as high for him.
Danny Duffy, I know the answer was Pomeranz over Duffy after Pomeranz's Wednesday start. What's the answer now?
Yeah, hasn't really changed.
Okay. Danny Duffy, though.
It was a good
10 innings, 4 hits in 2 starts. Still walking people, but...
I just don't think he's going to keep the job. And
right.
Cannot hold back Bruce Chen.
for some reason.
I wanted to read some emails today. It was a bit of a light day yesterday. Thank goodness. Oh, man. If there was like a 15-game day yesterday, I don't know what I would have done.
Can before we move on to that, like I just want to make sure we give Kennedy, like, I mean, he was the lights-out starter yesterday, even though he didn't win.
Yeah.
I'm going so far as to say he's must-own. I've seen enough encouraging signs, you know, from Diamondbacks to the Padres, hitters park, pitchers park, three home runs allowed all year, and that was really what killed him in the years following his near Cy Young season in 2011. So I'm all aboard Kennedy. Must-own.
And his ERA at home is still over four, so this was really encouraging because he's been great on the road, and it was only a matter of time, you figured, until the home ERA came down.
Yeah.
So this was a good home start against a team that wasn't cheating. Email of the day number one is from Ryan. Victor Martinez is hitting like it's 2007, and he just went a year between called strikeouts. Anything look fishy about his amazing start, or can I congratulate myself on the steal of the draft? Victor Martinez.
Go ahead, pat yourself on the back, because I don't see anything too fishy here. I'm not sure I'm buying this much home run power, but the plate discipline is amazing. The batting average will continue to be amazing, and I mean, it's not unthinkable that he's having a power resurgence.
Email of the day number two is from Jimmy Crutchfield from Hump Tulips, Washington. Oh, he's piggybacking from a segment we had the other day. It's getting hot in here. Are these guys heating up for real? Michael Choice, Nick Castellanos, Mike Zunino, Eduardo Escobar, or Corey Hart?
The one I'll buy here is Corey Hart, and I think there's more batting average to come from him.
Can you? No, I agree. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I was making a grunt.
Yeah, I was making a grunting noise because I know I went to look up this morning how Mitch Moreland had been doing, because Michael Choice has gotten some playing time at his expense. I think it was against lefties, but still, he's been good recently, and I think has a lot more upside than Moreland. So I would like to see him replace Moreland, but I'm not sure how Moreland's doing. So
I don't think he's doing much of anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I never notice him.
Right, right.
But I can check for him.
I know Castellanos. I know we've gone back and forth with that pronunciation. The Tigers had the best matchups this week. I mean, it was looking good. So I don't know how much I buy into that. Zunino has actually been quite cold other than the home run the other day. So I don't know that I can make much of that either.
Well, Moreland hasn't played in a while. It looks like he pinch hit at Colorado a couple times, but no DH. But
yeah,
that was the last time he played. That was a six. So the last 2 days, nothing in the box score for him. The most fantasy points he's had in any week is 14. He's really not playing very well. He's batting .284, but one home run, 11 RBI.
And I know Choice has done better than 14, as you would think the one playing less often. I know Chu was out for a while, and Choice was getting more bats then, too, but...
And he batted second yesterday, Michael Choice.
Yeah.
In that ever-revolving
lineup. Ryan Washington doesn't know what he's doing with that lineup.
I know I've said this before, but I can't take away from Ron Washington. The team is good every year, pretty much. But he is the most, like, head-scratching manager. Sometimes you watch the Rangers, you're like, what? Why would he do that? So weird. Email of the day number three is from Arbar Todd, former podcast leaguer. But I think, was that football or baseball that he
was in? It was football.
Yeah. He's the one who gave us the Rejects League shirts and sweatshirts. He says to Gaspar, Balthazar, and Melchior, Al's got to know this one.
Three Wiseman.
You got it. Two more words that are acronyms. Radar, radio detection and ranging. That okay. And snafu.
Careful here.
Did you know what snafu stood
I did.
For? I had no idea.
But I didn't know radar or scuba. I didn't know that they were acronyms.
Me either. Situation normal, all effed up. But again, more proof that you don't need to pronounce your acronyms the same way the words within the acronyms are pronounced. And I'll throw another one out there. FUBAR. You know that one?
I don't.
Never seen Saving Private Ryan?
No and no.
Oh, God. Have you ever seen it?
Nah.
I mean, that's like arguably one of the five best movies ever
made.
Yeah,
I know.
It's incredible. All right, well, don't say FUBAR.
Okay.
On the podcast, it's okay. On the video show, don't say it. Looking for some DL help in a 12-team head-to-head categories dynasty league. Anibal Sanchez coming off. Who should I drop to activate him? Dylan G, Tom Kohler, Alfredo Simon, Danny Salazar, or Chris Archer?
You can drop Kohler.
And you should.
Speaking of advice, if Scott is peddling his fantasy knowledge for a mere fiver, can I put him on retainer, say 20 questions for $100?
You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of this site, little site called CBSSports.com, where I dispense fantasy advice
Same as personalized $5 per piece
Twitter.
Of
I don't know if you've heard Twitter's of this site free. Called Twitter, yeah. Yeah, where you can, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I answered every one.
Well, there you go. But if Scott paid you $5, he didn't, Scott from our office.
I turned down his $5. Maybe this is a great business opportunity and I'm missing out.
I think it is. $5 per tweet, basically. Okay, injuries, news, and notes. Only one part today. Not a lot. Joe Mauer not expected to be placed on the DL with back spasms. I haven't checked your rankings lately. Is Joe Mauer still your number one catcher? He is slugging .374, which is actually lower than his on-base percentage of .393.
Yeah, he is. And for a lot of reasons. One, I think he will slug more eventually. And two, everyday player. You don't get that much from catchers.
And Matt Kemp is apparently an everyday player now. You see that?
Yeah.
It's pretty hot, Al. You're the Kemp guy.
I am the Kemp guy. And he's been hitting pretty well lately.
Yeah.
Last few games.
Yeah. I like it.
Bringing the batting average up slowly.
I am not expecting any credit from anyone for this, from what I'm about to say. Okay, for what I'm about to say. You can criticize me, whatever. I'm just going to say, I wish I had predicted this, because in my mind, I always felt like this was going to happen. It seemed so obvious to me that Puig and Kemp were the two guys who needed to stay in the outfield, and eventually the two other bums would be rotated.
So you had no concern about lingering injury issues?
That's separate. I just mean if everybody's healthy... And there are four for three spots.
Sure, if everybody's healthy, I couldn't agree more, but everybody wasn't.
There are obviously injury concerns with Matt Kemp, sure. Yeah. But, Scott, are you less concerned about Matt Kemp?
Not really, because, I'm kind of with Al. I know Al's high on Kemp, and I'm not so much. But it's more about how likely I think he is to get hurt again than whether or not the Dodgers wanted to play him when he was healthy.
Jose Abreu hurt his ankle. Didn't seem serious. We'll keep you posted. Michael Bourne returned to the lineup. Fooled me. Thought he was going to the DL. Thought it was one of those, I don't believe you, Michael Bourne. Joe Kelly could be out until June with the hamstring injury. Should we pick up Carlos Martinez?
No. Pick up Jaime Garcia.
Oh.
He's reeling me in again.
Oh, come on, Al.
Yeah. I can't help myself.
He's like, you're... Who always does that to me? I feel like there should be an obvious player.
Because you talked about like two or three days ago, and now neither of us can remember.
Ryan Howard?
No.
There was a pitcher, I think.
Gosh.
We'll remember three minutes after the podcast
we'll
is over.
Later.
Aroldis Chapman is throwing hard, but he has been terrible in his minor league outings. Does anyone care?
A little, but the Reds maintain that they're not concerned.
Brett Laurie could be a couple of days away from a return. Adam Lind is back. Omar Infante will miss at least one game with a back injury. Chase Headley should be back Saturday night. Matt Cain should start Saturday. Matt Wieters DH yesterday, and Caleb Joseph caught for Baltimore.
You want to reveal that important Matt Cain tidbit that I discovered yesterday?
I think we called it. Well, Scott didn't. Scott was completely wrong on this one. You don't get $5 for sandwich advice, Scott. Matt Cain was making ham and cheese sandwiches.
Yes.
Booyah! I know you said it. I said it,
and I said it just totally as a gag so that I could say going ham.
Did I agree with it?
No. I think
Well, then I take back my booyah. That's all for Al. It's my favorite sandwich, so I thought maybe I would go there.
And he really was. He confirmed he really was making fancy triangle sandwiches without the crusts.
Scott said like cucumber sandwiches or something, which was just weird.
Yeah. Well, I watched a movie that had them in them the day before, so they were fresh on my mind. I watched
he sounds embarrassed.
How to Lose a Guy in 10
yes!
Days.
He is embarrassed. Yes, I can tell. Oh, that's great. Connor Gillespie started at third base for the White Sox, and Gordon Beckham was at second base on the Marcus Semien watch. Justin Morneau was out with a stiff neck. Marcus Stroman's been pitching pretty well out of the bullpen. Any news on him?
Nope.
Okay.
Waiting for Jay Happ to blow it.
There you go. Coco Crisp has a sprained neck after colliding with the outfield wall Wednesday. Juan Uribe left with a hamstring injury. Miami cheated again, as mentioned. And Steve Cishek. Be careful there, Marlins. Don't destroy Steve Cishek's arm. He's pitched in 6 of the last 8 days. Not 8 games. 8 days. That's a lot of pitching.
Well, they're that cheating is. With that, too.
He's They've, been awesome, though.
He has a biomechanical arm.
And he's got, I'm sure he's pine tarring it.
Yes.
Lather it on.
I'm happy for them, Al.
I am happy. I'm enjoying it because it's not going to last.
You think they'll finish in last place?
I actually don't. I think they could finish as high as third because I think they're definitely better than the Mets.
Yeah.
I think they might be better than the Phillies.
The Mets are going to win 90 games. That's what Sandy Alderson said. All right, let's look at fringy starting pitchers here. These guys are owned anywhere from 25 to 77% of leagues. So, Ian Kennedy. Ubaldo Jimenez, not a bad start, not a great start. Actually, not a good start.
Yeah.
Looking at that whip now. 9 base runners and 5 1/3. Drew Smyly, cruising until he got to the 5th, and he got roughed up a little bit against Houston.
Come on, say it, Adam. What did he give up?
Oh, a Springer Dinger.
There we go.
I have a whole category on this show called Springer Dingers.
You do?
It's coming up next. Dallas Keuchel, we talked about. Josh Beckett and Matt Harrison was good-ish. Kennedy, Jimenez, Smyly, Keuchel, Beckett, Harrison. Rank them.
Kennedy, Jimenez, Smyly, Beckett, Keuchel, Harrison. So almost the order you have them listed here.
Just Beckett ahead of Keuchel.
Yeah.
Harrison last.
Yep.
Al?
All right. Smyly, Jimenez, Kennedy, Keuchel, Beckett, Harrison.
Smyly won?
That's what I said.
Well, that I guess really I was asking why.
Oh, yeah, hence the question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the strikeouts. I like the potential for run support there. And I just have fewer questions about him than anybody else on the list. Though, okay, the one question I have is innings with him, but I don't know that I'm starting any of these guys in 1-start weeks right now, and 2-start weeks I'm less worried about the innings.
Springer dingers. Here are some noteworthy homers from yesterday. George Springer hit his first Springer dinger.
Yeah.
He's batting .228. Have your expectations changed at all for George Springer?
I have to say, yeah, a little bit, because I had very high expectations. So I still think he can get hot. But
he kind of has heated up a little because the home run, obviously, and then 2 games ago it was 3 hits. And he has a hitting streak going of a decent number of games. I didn't write it down. But it's all 1-hit games aside for the 3-hit game. But altogether, it's kind of encouraging.
But let me ask you this. Let me put it in terms you'd understand, Scott.
Okay. In terms I
understand. If George Springer's hitting streak.
What does that mean?
Well, we're about to find out. Let me get the punchline before I go over this one, too.
Okay.
If George Springer's hitting streak were a movie, would it be How to Lose a Guy in 6 Games, How to Lose a Guy in 8 Games, or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Games?
It would be How to Lose a Guy in 8 Games.
You got it. Yeah. All right. See, that's all you have to do. You just got to relate to people. Shall we move on?
With Springer, sure.
Okay. Prince Fielder hit his 3rd home run. Have your expectations changed for Prince Fielder?
Mine haven't.
Mine have a little. And again, not big changes for either of them. But, Fielder compounding what he did last year with what he's done so far this year, it does make me have to wonder if whatever was wrong last year is still wrong.
I would be more worried about Fielder if he was just like, swinging and missing at everything. 22 right. walks, 20 strikeouts. That to me shows he's still a good hitter.
The walks, I'm not sure why he is walking so much. And the Rangers lineup has just been pretty bad through and through other than Chu. Yeah. So, I don't know if he's getting pitched around. It's mysterious to me.
Colby Rasmus, Juan Francisco, and Edwin Encarnacion all homered, and Edwin Encarnacion homered twice, and this is my chance to send in a formal apology to Al Melchior for telling him that Edwin Encarnacion only tripled on Wednesday when he did, in fact, triple and
give
homer.
Him credit for all the bases.
Yeah, I apologize.
Ooh, he's going to have a big week for me in score sheet.
Yeah, he's straight up killing it, but look, Rasmus again and Francisco again.
Okay, Rasmus.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Reeling me back in. I have to admit that the strikeout rate this year is terrible, even worse than normal. But something that I think that went unnoticed by me certainly last year, I don't know if it's because he had an oblique injury late in the year or what, but from May 21st on last year, 77 games, so about half a season, Rasmus hit .300 with 16 home runs and a .908 OPS. And now he's off to this kind of start at age 27, so 26, 27, prime for a breakout, former elite prospect. And during that 77-game stretch, he struck out about once a game. So let's say he's about 150 strikeout guy.
Okay.
Which, I mean, there's plenty of good players who strike out that often. Mike Trout struck out 136 times, I think, last year. I don't think that's going to be enough to sink him with the kind of power he's showing now and showed last year. And I'm ready to take a flyer on him wherever he's available. That being said, he is my sit among outfielders this week because the Blue Jays have tough matchups and face three lefties. But I like him in general.
So if he struggles next week and people drop him,
I'll probably pick him up.
Al?
Yeah, he has not reeled me in. And so you said he hit .300 in the second half last year?
And over his final 77 games, half
which is a big sample. I'm very surprised by that. He's had a lot of inconsistency with batting average, but just given the type of player he is who strikes out a lot and gets his power from a high fly ball rate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trusting the part of his career where he has been able to
hit
for average.
Well, it's less about the batting average than the 16 home runs and the .908 OPS that he put up in half a season. Because I don't expect him to hit .300 either, but if he hits .270 and has those kind of supporting stats, he's going to be a high-end player, I feel like.
Yeah, and I don't doubt the power. But that OPS is inflated by a batting average that I think was inflated. So, yeah. No, I don't doubt the power. It just seems like when you match him up against other guys that you could pick up, that the power is just not enough.
Well, he's also set to become a free agent, so that might help him. I'm reading an article right now just to see if I can dig up anything else in the Toronto Star. I'll let you know if I do. Men of Steel! I want to talk about a couple of guys who got steals yesterday. Everett Cabrera stole his second base in his last three games, and Jose Reyes stole two bases yesterday. That's four steals in his last seven games. Who's encouraged?
Very. Yeah, I had to get the me part out first.
About both of them?
By both of them. Well, especially Reyes, because that was another mystery where all those steals had gone for him. Granted, he's not getting on base a lot, but you expected a little something from him, so this is very, very encouraging.
Oh, my God. I think I have to read this quote from Colby Rasmus. All right, so this is from the Toronto Star. Rasmus admits in hilariously self-effacing fashion that sometimes he makes himself crazy getting pumped up before the game. Quote, when you finally get up to the plate, it's like, I've been waiting for this all day. My last at-bat was last night, but I'm ready to get up there and hit right now. Then instead of being relaxed and seeing the ball, you're just like, I'm going to do it right here. I'm going to help our team. I'm going to do this. And you take a fat dump in your pants, so to speak.
I cannot believe you read that whole quote.
You knew it?
I've got it right in front of me.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. You knew what was coming.
Yeah.
How did you get that? You looked it up,
Chris
too?
Chris Wick put it in camp.
Oh, really?
Put it in our intranet. Yeah.
I had to. I mean, if they published it in the Toronto Star, like, I'm running with it.
Who knows what? They're not FCC regulated there.
They also write CENTRE field.
Right, because that's where the middle of the field is in Canada.
That sure is. Okay, let's move it along here. Three up, nobody down. Giancarlo Stanton, the number two hitter in points, number three in Roto, behind Tulowitzki and Blackman. Should we sell Giancarlo Stanton because he has failed to play more than 123 games in each of the last two seasons?
No.
Okay. All right.
Nice try.
Michael Brantley, 3-for-5 with a double and a home run. 2 runs scored, 3 RBI against the Twins. Haven't really spoken about him, I think, in a couple weeks, but...
Yeah, because you have nothing bad to say
almost
about him.
Well, I mean, he...
He slowed down a little.
He slowed down.
But, I mean, he's still on pace for a near 2020 season.
Right,
and
right.
Is walking more than he strikes out, which you know I love.
And he's slugging .492 after slugging .396 last year. And he's 27, I believe. So, are we buying it? Should he be 92% started?
That actually does strike me as a little bit high, but not crazy. And I basically am buying it because he looks like a prime breakout guy. The age, the pulling together of all the different skills we've seen in the majors and the minors.
Better than Rasmus.
Better than Rasmus. I have had him in the two obvious section of the start sit for hitters for probably close to a month now. So people are listening. I can't tell them it's too high when I say he's too obvious to even talk about.
And Mike Gault has homered in 2 straight games, drove in 4 last night at the White Sox. Not even a top 20 third baseman at a weak position because he's batting .184. Is Mike Gault anything but a power guy?
I don't think he is. I think he is the Colby Rasmus of the hot corner.
Is he the Matt Dominguez of the National League?
Thank you for reminding me that Matt Dominguez is not in the National League.
Yeah, that's still hard to... I think the for me, the comparison is Mark Reynolds. That's what I'm hoping he'll be.
Okay. And in the rotation, David Price and A.J. Burnett were bad last night. Price has a .453 ERA. Great ratios, but...
Insane ratios.
Six walks, 58 strikeouts.
Yeah, there's one ratio that's a little troubling, though.
Uh-oh.
Let's say fly ball rate.
You are correct.
Yeah.
And connected with that, 9 home runs allowed already in 53 2/3 innings. That's not good.
No, but it's like... I can live with it if he's doing this other stuff. You know, I think ultimately that's going to trump giving up more home runs. I mean, good pitchers can sometimes give up home runs and still be good.
Well, I want to remind everyone that he had an ERA over 5 in April and May last year.
268 strikeouts and 28 walks. That's what he's on pace for.
Yeah, I'm just saying. He turned it on after May.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Look, yeah. Listen, I agree with what Scott just said. I just think Price is too good to keep giving up so many home runs.
Yeah.
Hisashi Iwakuma, 8 scoreless. He was a top 5 pitcher last year. Any chance he's a top 5 pitcher going forward?
No. He's awfully good, but I don't think he's gonna be quite this dominant every time out.
Is he a top 20 pitcher?
I think he might be. Well, he was 16 for me before he got injured.
Okay.
So I could see myself getting him back up there. I think I was the highest on him, though, so I don't know if Al would agree. I have him outside my top 20 now, and I'll probably leave him there because other guys, like Tanaka and Cueto, have passed him, but he could get there.
Yeah, I feel like that's Iwakuma's upside. I'm more comfortable calling him a top 30 starter.
And are we starting R.A. Dickey next week with Cleveland at home and Texas on the road?
Oh, no.
No.
No? Okay.
Here's you want my stat for Dickey?
Yeah.
Real quick? Okay, so Dickey, 3 walks in this last game, 6 of 8 starts this season, 3 walks, 3-plus walks, 6 starts. He had 8 total starts last season where he issued 3 walks or more, and I think most people were not happy with last season, so just throwing that out there.
No, it's a good stat. Starter sit time for Fantasy Week 7?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Ooh, how about that?
Where does the time go?
All right, Scott, it's your time to shine. Tell us about the best hitting matchups, the worst hitting matchups. And we'll have more on this. 1, on the website, fantasynews.cbssports.com. You read the columns. 2, on the video show. You can watch it live at noon Eastern, or you can watch it on demand. Go ahead.
Okay, so I didn't love... Like, there wasn't a ton of matchups that were just, like, extremely good or extremely bad, kind of like the Tigers was extremely good this week. With the exception of 1, the Diamondbacks have the worst matchups by far. 6-game week for them. Jordan Zimmermann, Steven Strasburg, Doug Pfister, Zach Greinke, Clayton Kershaw, Dan Heron. That is a tough slate of games. So my response to that, for maybe the first time in the history of time,
bench Martin Prado.
Bench Martin Prado. He is a sit, especially at second base. It might be harder to justify at third base, but second base is so deep.
I am glad I'm sitting firmly in my chair because I would have fallen off it otherwise.
I know. I'm glad I'm kind of lounging in my chair, or I would have done the same.
And I haven't really lost faith in Prado rest of season, but he's just done so little, and those matchups are so bad.
Okay.
Go ahead and sit him. Okay, so who I do have for good matchups, the Mariners, the Athletics, the Marlins, the Royals, and the Yankees.
Marlins are on the road all week.
Yes, and while I joked at the beginning, oh, look, they're on the road, they're not able to cheat anymore, look what happens. When I was going through picking out my starts and knowing that the Marlins should theoretically have the third best matchups here, I had a hard time recommending Marlins. I did, because they've been so bad on the road. Like,
would you go Casey McGee or Martin Prado?
I would actually go Prado, and McGee was one I considered as a start because he's pretty hot. The only Marlin I did have as a start this week, and it's kind of a deeper league start. I'm going to have to qualify it like crazy. But because second base in a standard league, probably nobody's hurting to find a decent option anyway. I have Derek Dietrich as my start there this week because 6 of their 7 games are against righties, and he's played pretty much every game against righties recently.
Okay.
And I like his numbers. Okay, so other bad matchups. I have the Mets. This is in addition to the Diamondbacks, the Mets, the Rays, the Cubs, and the Orioles. So let's talk about a few starts here specifically. I mentioned second base. I have Dietrich and Prado. LaRoche, I think, is almost to the point of being must start. The Nationals weren't included in my best matchups, but they'd probably be 6, so I like him a lot this week. Jonathan VR. I've been a big-time VR skeptic, but I like the Astros matchups. All their games are at home. 3 of the 6 are against lefties. VR has been especially good against lefties and at home, so I think it's time to start him. And I have George Springer, actually, as my start in the outfield for the reasons I mentioned. Looks like he's starting to heat up. I like the Astros matchups. He's my start at the outfield. Colby Rasmus is my sit. And that's probably good. Got to save some for the column. Check it
all
out.
Right. That works for me.
Yep.
Let's talk about the 2-start pitchers. Al, good week or bad week?
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. There's a good number of 2-start pitchers available and some very good ones that are high-end that are already universally owned. But in terms of the ones that you can get off of waivers, not too many that you're going to have to restrain yourself. Not too many, I think, that are really worth picking up.
Okay, so then let's go to the guys who are owned in 80% of leagues or more.
Let's do that.
Would you start Jesse Chavez against the White Sox and at Cleveland?
I've got Chavez in the lower half of my bubble group, so those are the guys who they're kind of like desperation starts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I've got him. If I can avoid starting Chavez this week, I would.
How about Mark Burley, Angels at home and at Texas?
Yep, same category as Chavez. Burley's just been, I think, awfully fortunate so far. His control has actually been a little bit off of his usual pace, which is, you know, pretty good, and that's kind of what makes him valuable. But, there's a ton of regression that's going to happen at some point for Burley.
Would you start any of the following? Aaron Harang, R.A. Dickey. And Harang is at San Francisco and at St. Louis. Dickey is Cleveland at home and Texas on the road. Danny Salazar is at Toronto and home against Oakland. And Zach Wheeler at the Yankees and at the Nationals.
The only one of that group that was in the upper half of the borderline group or higher was Wheeler.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I think Wheeler is a very solid start this week. Salazar is, let me make sure just that... No, I take that back. I have Salazar ranked right behind Wheeler.
Okay.
These are tough matchups for Salas.
They are tough matchups, and that's kind of why I was thinking maybe I did have him ranked a little bit lower. But last three starts is more like it for Danny Salazar.
One of them was bad, though, wasn't it?
But the underlying stats are looking a lot better. He's got much better control now, and that was really the big problem in his early starts. So I'm almost fully back on board with Salazar. So, yeah, I think he's in the borderline start. If I felt he was all the way back, I'd have him in the must start. But he's in the upper half of the borderline start. So he's a guy that you could get off your bench or pick up this week.
You know, I usually start anyone on my roster who's making two starts. If he's good enough to roster and he's making two starts, I usually start him. And I've said you can't drop Harang yet. I don't think I'd start Harang just because I'm rooting so hard for him to get blasted in that first start at San Francisco. So these Alex Wood to the bullpen rumors will die. Like, my rooting interest would be so divided.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, it's not fun sometimes.
Well,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, lots of reassurance there. Now, Harang just missed my bubble list.
Mm.
He was like the first or second guy to miss the cut. But I don't really like the matchups. He's got the Cardinals. And currently, and I don't worry too much about the pitcher versus pitcher matchups because those could change. But right now, he's lining up against Wainwright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he lines up against Lincecum at the Giants, and that obviously is a better shot for a win. But the Giants are, I think, a fairly tough matchup.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I don't really love those matchups for Harang, who I don't trust that much anyway.
Lincecum will strike out 10 Braves, right?
Right.
And then then we'll come in here. And you guys, Lincecum, look at the ratios. All right, so let's.
We've already had that conversation, so we don't have to.
Strike out 10 Braves in 4 1/3 innings.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's look at the rest of the list here. Lincecum is a 2-star pitcher with Atlanta and Miami. Who are some guys you might be targeting here? Porcello, Travis Wood, Lincecum, Tom Kohler, Ubaldo, Mike Leake, Cologne, Tyler Lyons. And then it gets a little ugly after that.
Yeah. Okay. Porcello and Leake, start them. And these are guys that I'm usually pretty reluctant to use even in 2-start weeks. Leake especially. Great matchups, though. Versus the Padres at home and at Philadelphia. Two of the worst offenses in the National League. So, and Leake has taken it up a notch this year. He's still not giving you strikeouts, but 2-start week, that's less of an issue. And he's really been a help with whip. So...
Do you think we can get the column headline to say taking a leak?
Yeah, I think we could, or maybe a show graphic later today, work on that.
Okay, cool.
I don't know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It would if I were
bathroom
in charge.
Bathroom humor usually doesn't
translate.
Not a
lot of it today.
But it's flies here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah,
the podcast is fine. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone
so,
else?
So Porcello and Leak I like especially. Travis Wood I've got is kind of in the desperation start category, so viable, but don't love the matchups at the Cardinals at home versus the Brewers.
Who will have Ryan Braun back, most likely.
Yeah, so...
Would you guys rather have Travis Wood this week or Ubaldo Jimenez, Tigers and Royals?
Yeah, Jimenez missed the cut for me, so I'm still in wait-and-see mode with Ubaldo.
Scott owns him in this league in which Al used to print out the list of 2-star pitchers. Are you starting Ubaldo Jimenez, Scott?
I guess that would be an exception to the rule I just made because I'm in the same situation. I think the upside is too great to let him go, but only one good start so far. I'm not trusting him in the 2-start week.
And so, Tom Kohler?
Tom Kohler, don't bother. Scott and I have both been warning about regression. Could happen any week. Why not this week?
I got a sleeper. Ready?
Yep.
Vogelsong. Atlanta and the Marlins at home.
I thought about him. Yeah, I didn't make him an advisable start, not even in the bubble group this week. But, he's getting closer. Still not. I want to see a little more consistency with the control from Vogelsong. I still worry he's not going to help you enough with high strikeouts and low walks.
Vidal Nuno has decent matchups for deep, deep leagues.
All right. In terms of a highly available guy that I think is worth picking up and starting, Bronson Arroyo. He's been really good his last few starts.
Well, one of them didn't count. It was against San Diego.
Well, you know, but sometimes good pitchers just get easy matchups.
He's probably regressing to the mean.
Yes, he is. His own mean upwards from where he started the season.
Right, right, right.
So certainly, you know, starting the year late with an injury, You know, I think that, that Arroyo probably just needs a little extra time to get back into form. It looks like he's there. So, yeah, I like him as sort of a last-ditch option, but one that you could start.
I want to be clear. I shouldn't have said Vidal Nuno's name. I would not. There is not a league that I play in that I would even consider starting him. So there's that.
Well, that's good because, yeah, he's going to be very low in my start pitcher rankings.
All right, let's read some emails here. The rest of it's available on the website, and we do it on the video show, so there's that. Okay, Jason. Oh, this is pretty much all grade the trade. Jason says, grade the trade. I give Gerrit Cole. I get Carlos Beltran.
That is a D. Sorry, Jason.
It's going to be slightly more charitable, D+. Oh, you're going to read the last part of that question?
Who got Chunkies in the candy draft?
Is there a K, right?
I don't remember.
Because I read that.
I studied
that.
It.
Sorry.
I studied it more than I studied the NFL draft.
Oh, yeah. You read it like who ate so much candy that they got chunky?
No. I finished my sentence. So that's good, though. I read that question and immediately thought of Michael Pineda. Because I'm like, chunky, wow, that's a good pick that I never would have thought of. And it's just like in our mock drafts where Michael Pineda kept going. I'm like, oh, I could add Michael Pineda.
Have I really never had a chunky?
I haven't either. I was about to say that.
Scott.
Oh, they're good. Never,
this sounds amazing.
We got to hit up the convenience store.
Oh, but this is funny. So what's in a chunky?
Chocolate nuts and raisins.
Yeah, nuts and raisins. Yeah. So all of a sudden, chunkies are great. Yeah. But Raisinets, damn thing as a chunky, just without the nuts, they suck.
Who's all saying right. They're great?
First of all.
Oh, Jason is?
A lot of people, I think, would go chunky way over Raisinets.
So they do have nuts. And I wasn't dissing Raisinets. I was on your side there.
Good.
Okay, but chunkies are so much better because they have nuts. And more importantly, they're chunky.
Yeah.
So the Raisinets, it's like
candy.
Raisin with a thin film of chocolate.
Like, that looks really good. I'm really
chunky is a chunk of chocolate.
Have you ever had a Whatchamacallit?
Yeah.
It tremendous. Went in the draft. Yeah, yeah. Whatchamacallit's fantastic. Have you ever had Zero?
No.
Zero's... interesting.
I kind of
like it.
Is it like zero calories?
No.
It's almost like an inverted chocolate bar because it's like white chocolate on the outside. And I don't know what's in it, but it's like...
I'm not interested. You ruined it for me.
All right.
Okay, next up. Gary from Evans, Georgia. Grade the trade. He says, hey, Wyatt, Morgan, and Virgil.
I feel like it's Earps. Like Wyatt Earp, yeah.
I gave up Jed Lowry. I got Adam Jones. I already know what you're going to say. I just wanted to brag a little.
Uh-huh.
Hey. And he says, bad player names, Dan Strugla and the Slumpton Brothers.
You can tell this guy's from Evans, Georgia.
Yeah.
Suburb of Augusta.
I was going to ask you where
what it's
Georgia.
Worth. Yes, cool. I had a couple friends in college from Evans, Georgia.
Yeah. Nate from Colorado, head-to-head total points league, giving up Kershaw, getting back Ellsbury and Gio Gonzalez.
That is a, I'll say C.
C plus.
That's kind of the cop out.
C plus.
That's interesting. Who would you have taken first in the draft, just preseason?
I would have taken Kershaw ahead of Ellsbury.
You would have.
Yeah.
All right.
I should probably give it a better grade because I was targeting Ellsbury ahead of Kershaw.
All right. Jonathan in Raleigh, North Carolina, grade the trade. NL only 5x5, 8-player roto league. My team is strong in hitting, but I need pitching. I get Strasburg and Matt Adams. I give Kohler and Paul Goldschmidt. So you're giving up Kohler and Goldschmidt to get Strasburg and Adams. He needs pitching.
It is NL only.
Yeah, I'm going to give that B minus.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, right, yes, I like Goldschmidt better than Strasburg.
Yeah.
But you take the other side of that trade and you're turning Tom Kohler into Matt Adams. That's outstanding.
I don't know. I'm not sold on Matt Adams yet because he has like this Jonathan Scope-like strikeout to walk ratio and is hitting for no power. I feel like the power will come around eventually, but what's going to happen to the bat? I don't know. Because it's an L only, I don't mind it. I'll say, what did you say? B minus?
Did I give it a grade? I think I did.
I thought you said B plus.
Oh, okay.
I'll say C plus.
Oh no, maybe I was thinking of the Ellsbury trade.
Okay, because I was actually
C plus.
Yeah, I was just thinking B. So,
What's the first name here in this Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet.
Iago.
Iago, Tybalt, and Edmund.
You should know that from Aladdin, if nothing else.
Oh, gosh. I haven't seen Aladdin since I was like 8.
Okay.
I'm not a Shakespeare guy. I don't get it. I don't get the hype. I'm sorry.
Well, it's probably...
He is the Star Wars
good back
of
in its
authors.
Day. It's like...
oh, my God.
I was going to... Yeah, I was going to make a...
Holy cow, you were right about Mad Adams, by the way. When you said scope, like, I'm like, really that bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, really that bad?
He's on pace for like 40 RBI. I don't know what's going on. It's
that whole team... I don't know about everyone, but they hit so well with runners in scoring position in the last couple of years. Alan Craig especially.
Now they're making up for it.
I think that's what's going on. I'd have to look up the stats, but I remember reading that. All right, grade the trade. This is from no name, so let's say it's from Romeo. I give Gio Gonzalez and Emilio Bonifacio. I get Evan Longoria. Bonifacio was my third baseman. I still have Felix Lester, Irvin Santana, CJ Wilson, Straley, and Kohler, and Duffy, though he probably doesn't count. Sorry, Adam. So you're giving up your ace. You're Felix. Sorry.
That's a B+.
You're number two, Gio and Bonifacio for Longoria.
B+.
And I agree with Scott, B+.
Good call. All right, thanks, everybody. Thanks for the emails. Have a great weekend, and watch the video show. Watch the NFL Draft Live show Friday night and Saturday night. That's all I got. For Al Melker and Scott White, we'll talk to you on Herc Monday.